The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
I'm going to tell you something. You haven't got a single situation in your life that the blood of Jesus will not cover. Amen. Not a single situation. Yours, mine, anybody's. You say, well, I don't understand that. It would be weird, wouldn't it, if I walk into a church and they're singing this song, I'd be like, man, them people got an obsession with blood. I don't know about this church. You know, I want to teach you something. You got a smartphone. Some of y'all probably use this and know it, and some of you don't. But my phone will recognize my voice. I'm sure yours will too. It also tracks me everywhere I go and listens into my conversations and takes pictures when I don't want it to. But that's part of what you got to put up with, you know. I have nothing to hide. I'm not worried about it, you know. Well, they're tracking you. Well, God's tracking me too, and he knows where I'm at. Amen. Got nothing to worry about. So you said, but man, what about that blood? I don't get, you know, the blood of Jesus. Hey, Google, where in the Bible does it talk about the blood of Jesus?
According to Bibles for America blog, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 tells us, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from every sin. So when we confess our sins to God, we're forgiven of our sins and cleansed from them by the blood of Jesus.
Did you know Google was an evangelist? Hallelujah. If you got an iPhone, you say, hey, Siri, you know, whatever. You can voice control a lot of things, you know. But seriously, use this. These smartphones and all these doodads we got today can be tremendous distractions, and they can be harmful to you if you let them be. But they can also be a beautiful tool. You know, you can take dynamite and blow up rocks and make a road and make tunnels through the mountains so a train doesn't have to go around for 100 miles. Or you can take dynamite and blow yourself up by other people. It's not the tool that's the problem. Listen, guns don't kill people. No gun ever got up by itself and loaded itself and pointed itself. People do that. And the truth of the matter is people that are in their right mind don't do that. So the whole issue is not guns. What is it? The whole issue is mental illness and depression and demonic influence. We're not warring against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. So we're singing that song, Plead the Blood. I didn't know Sharon was going to do that one today. I love that song. I've heard her doing it a little bit. All right? I like Fog Machine during worship. Lights are dim. The lights are going on. It's pretty cool. It sets the atmosphere, right? But wouldn't it be weird in here, I think. I don't know. Maybe one of these days we'll try it. I don't know. But, you know, we don't have to have all that. We don't even have to have all the beautiful, fancy backing tracks that we have, honestly. If you just worship the Lord, open your heart to Him, wherever, whenever, however you are. And I'm going to tell you something. Holiness is something God desires for your life. But it's not because He can't love you if you're not. Holiness will keep you. What is holiness? Holiness is living in the will of God, pleasing God, doing things God's way. Keeping yourself separated from the things that displease God, which are, even if you don't know what the Bible says, you've been given a conscience. And God promised that the part of the new dealings with people, the new covenant that He was going to do, He goes, Paul, I'm going to write my laws upon their minds. And I'm going to give them a new heart, a different kind of a spirit being inside. He goes, I'm going to write my word on their heart. And, you know, the more you read the Bible, the more you give the Lord something to bring up in your spirit to help you to direct your steps. You know, if you'd never heard of Cleveland, Ohio, and you're trying to look on a map, you don't have any idea. It's easier if you're familiar with that. But that doesn't mean He can't lead you. And holiness is something God wants us to have so that we enjoy all the benefits that He has for us. But if He didn't love us when we weren't holy... Well, let's just say it like it is. If He didn't love us when we were unholy, we'd never stand a chance. So that in mind, I want you to open your Bible to the book of Titus. It's a little bitty book back in the back of the Bible. Titus. think it's right before Hebrews, if I remember correctly. Little bitty book of Titus. That's not in my notes. I didn't come to preach notes. They're there for my comfort. That's all. Like as if I could get up here. And you hungry for the how many of y'all are hungry for God to speak to you? How could he not use me to do that then when you're hungry for him to speak to you? Somebody said, man, I want to go and I want to hear such and such preacher. No, you don't. You want to hear God. And God can use anybody. One time there was a prophet who wouldn't listen to God. He'd been used of God to speak God's oracles, God's sayings. But this particular time in his life, now he didn't want to listen to God. He didn't like what God was doing. Now don't say you've never been there because I'll call you out. We got different ideas about how things ought to go than God does sometimes. If we're not careful, we'll get in a place where we don't particularly want to hear it. We need to be willing to hear. Someone said to a great man of God one time, are you always willing to obey God? And he answered wisely, said, I'm always willing to be made willing. If you'll stay like that, stay open. If I'm going the wrong direction, I don't want Sharon to tell me about it because that upsets me. Can I get an amen? I want God to tell me about it. I want him to. I yearn for it. Because the more he does that, the righter I get. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been declared to be righteous. It's like this. If I had a report card and, man, I've been slacking off. I ain't been listening and I got an F. Someone comes along and pours mercy out and all of a sudden my failure, F for fail, becomes an A+. Because the one who poured that mercy out is perfect. And he said, I want them to be evaluated and graded not on what they've done, on what I've done for them. It's Jesus. Jesus talking. He said, I want them to have access to the things of the Father based not on what they've done. If they will put their faith. I said, what's faith? I don't understand faith. You understand parachutes, don't you? If you're in an airplane and you got a parachute on and you trust and believe wholeheartedly that the parachute will save you, you'll jump out. But if you can't get past your fear that thing will fail you, you're not going out of that plane unless somebody pushes you and then you're kicking and screaming and probably passing out in the first 10 feet. And the person that jumped in front of you, they're jumping out and they're, you know, and then they're, woo, they pull that ripcord and then they're sailing around. They're enjoying having a time of their life because they have 100% confidence in that parachute. Have you ever heard of a parachute failing? Yes. It's rare, actually. It's very rare. But it happens. Has God ever failed? No. Will he ever fail? No. Can he fail? No. But how come it's so stinking hard to put our trust in him? And the answer? Because we're not thinking about him. We're thinking about us. Come on. Titus, are you all there? Let's pick this up. Chapter 3, remind the people, be subject to rulers, authorities, be obedient, be ready to do what's good, slander no one, be peaceable, be considerate. This is how God wants us to live. Show true humility toward all men. At one time, we too, we were foolish, we were disobedient, we were deceived, we were enslaved by all kind of passion and pleasures. If you ever forget that about yourself, you're in trouble. Amen. We too were disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of stuff. Everybody say stuff. We lived in malice, envy, being hated, and what else did we do? We hated one another. Don't say you didn't. You may not have ever hated someone because of their skin color. I pray you never did, but you might have. You might have hated them because of the way they dressed or act or what they did do or didn't do. How long their hair was or how short their hair was. You may have hated on them. But when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, we're to be different than that. Amen. Now, listen, we're to love everybody. We're to love drag queens. We're not to approve of their behavior. We're not to say that what they do is good, that what they say is right, or any of that. But we're to love them and understand this. At one time, we too were deceived. At one time, we too were enslaved by all kinds of passions. You say, well, how should I feel about all this stuff? Well, number one, I want to protect the innocent, so I'll stand in the gap no matter what. And I can show love to someone without getting an agreement with them. If I agree with you, then we both be wrong. If you're drowning and to show you love, I decide to go drown with you, we both drown. But if I stand on the solid ground and throw you the lifeline, then I can save, help you if you choose to receive the help. So we were messed up. Here's my version. At one time, we were messed up, and we were making a mess of it, too, weren't we? If your life was that good before you were saved, some people sound like, you hear them talking, they sound like before they got saved, man, it was awesome. No, it wasn't. If it was, we'd have stayed there. It wasn't awesome. It was awful. That's the truth. Sin seems like it's fun for a minute. The Bible says it this way. Sin has pleasure for a season. That season's short, by the way. And seasons change. And sin will start out like it's fun. The devil acts like he comes to party with you. But Jesus told us what he really came to do. In John chapter 10, he said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's it. Nothing else. If he has to do you some good things, if he has to bring some stuff into your life that brings you sensual pleasure in order to set the hook in your jaw, he'll do it. But his ultimate goal is to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you eternally. But Jesus said this, but I, Jesus, have come that they might have life and have it to the full, more abundantly. We were deceived. We were messed up, and we need to never forget it. But watch this. It does not read this way. At one time, we were messed up, and so we got a revelation, and we decided, man, this ain't working, because Dr. Phil said, how's that working for you? And we said, it ain't, Dr. Phil. That's not how it happened. You know, I made a decision one day, man. I turned on Michael Jackson, and I went over and I said, I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I'm telling him to change his ways. Well, I might have butchered that, but at least I let Jesus change my ways instead of looking at the man in the mirror and telling him he got to change his ways. Because you know what he'll do? He'll just laugh at you. Or he'll get in agreement with you and go, you know, that's a really good idea. We really do need to change, don't we, man in the mirror? He'll go, oh, yeah. Well, by golly, I'm going to do it then. And about 5 minutes later, fall flat on your face. If you could fix yourself by yourself, you would have been fixed long before you came to Jesus, and you would have never come to Jesus. Listen to me carefully. If you could fix yourself, no matter how you hear my voice right now, whether you're sitting in this room with me or you're hearing it some other way, if you could fix yourself, you would not be listening to me right now. Because you would know in your heart, you don't need nothing I have to say. But if you're hearing my voice right now, you're doing that because the Holy Spirit drew you, and there's something here for you that you need. Some people say, I can't hear God. Yes, you can. Because if you couldn't hear God, you wouldn't be hearing me now. Because it sure wasn't the devil that led you to listen to me, because I'm going to tell you the truth. And the truth will set you free. And the truth is, we've all been messed up. I don't care what side of the political aisle you're on. I don't care whether you've been a church person and you fell out, or you're a church person and you stayed in. You've never been to church your whole life. You claim to be an atheist. We're all been messed up. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is that the end of that verse? No, it is not. And are freely justified by the grace given us through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, if you're going to read Romans 3:23, that's that, you know, all have sinned and come short verse. You need to read the 24th verse also, because it's a continuation. And it does say we've all messed up and we've all been sinners. But Jesus came. And that changes everything.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
So we were messed up and we were deceived and we were hating one another. But what happened? How did it get different? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Y'all ask all the right questions. Fourth verse, Titus chapter 3. When the kindness of our Savior appeared. Kindness appeared. His name is Jesus. We celebrate it every December. What happened when kindness appeared? When Jesus shows up, what happens? Look at that verse. He saved us. Who showed up? He did. Who saved us? He did. Well, he did it because I was so good. That's not what God's holy word says. It says we were all messed up and deceived and hating and being hated on and doing this and doing that. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, showed up, he saved us not because of the righteous, right things we'd done, but because of his mercy. Why did God save you? Because you did enough right things to make you a little better than all the other fish in the pond? No. He saved you because he has mercy towards you. You know, women that are pregnant ought to walk around saying, God's doing a great job of knitting in here. Why is that? Because the Bible says you, every individual on this planet, no matter what family you're born into, no matter what their background is or whatever else, it doesn't matter. You are not a product only of biology. God created biology. The reason why when a man and a woman come together, biology takes its course because God created it that way. But without God's creation, it wouldn't happen. It's God who does it. The Bible says that God knits together in the womb of the mother every individual. Knits. Have you ever watched someone, usually probably a grandma or something, there, or great-grandma, and they're sitting there knitting? My grandma used to crochet. She knit, she crocheted, she canned her own food, she lived to be 102. That's the truth. She read her Bible every day, too. But you know, she wasn't saved because she was a good person. Matter of fact, she would be the first one to have told you that in her life she'd done a lot of wrong things, and when God did save her, she wasn't a good person. I'm not a good person without Jesus. But Christ living in me, I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. I don't go around bashing myself. I'm just going to let that soak in a minute. He saved us not because of our righteous deeds, but because of his mercy. How did he do it? He saved us through the washing of rebirth. See, there, somebody say, well, how do I know if I'm saved or not? That's a good question. I said again, you ask all the right questions. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, in the 8th chapter, that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So I'm going to put it in terms we can all get. There's just this knowing. When you need to be born again, when you need to be saved, if you'll quit justifying yourself by comparing yourself to everybody else, and you'll stop and get alone with God and say, you know, you say, Jesus, where am I really at? If you're not saved, he will let you know it. And he will not condemn you. There was a woman in John chapter 4 that had a meeting with Jesus, a close encounter of the Jesus kind. She came out to the well that day for no other reason in her mind but to get water. Just like she did the day before, the day before, and the day before, and the day before. But what's weird about her is that she comes out in the middle of the day. That's not normal. She's hiding. All the other women from her village come out in the cool of the morning. The water's cool, the day is cool, and after all, they can come out there and they can all talk woman stuff. This woman didn't come out with the rest of them. She came out in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day. And Jesus didn't go where Jews normally go when they traveled through that region. But he purposefully took a detour and went to this particular well and showed up for an encounter. Let me say it a different way. When the goodness of God appeared, Jesus made an appearance that day. She didn't know the goodness of God, but she was about to meet him. Jesus is the person of God in the flesh. You say, well, I want to know what God's like. Go read what Jesus was like. Did he condemn anybody? Did he kill anybody? Did he make anybody sick? Did he hurt anybody? No. Did he confront people? Yeah, he did. He confronted people, especially people that thought they were better than other people. He confronted them the most. And his biggest pet peeve seemed to be people who thought that they were right with God because of what they were doing alone. So this woman comes out, middle of the day, in the heat of the day, and Jesus says, "Woman, give me a drink of water." She looks over there at him. She's a what's called a Samaritan. That means that her ancestors were Jewish people who, when they were carried off into captivity, decided, you know what? Hey, nothing wrong with us intermingling with these other people. To the Jewish people, they looked at the Samaritans and they're like, they're half-breed dogs. They thought they were traitors. There was so much prejudice against each other. And it went both ways. It was bad. But Jesus didn't play that game. Jesus don't have a race card. There's only one race on the human planet in Jesus' eyes, and that's humans. Amen. So he looks over here at this Samaritan woman who every other Jew would despise, and he said, "Would you give me a drink?" And she looked back at him, and she goes, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan, and you're asking me for a drink?" How many of you know this? Jesus showed up because of love. Hate showed up to counteract him. Bigotry, hatred, racism showed up. Do you want to know why we see so much of that stuff going on in our world today? Because love is on his way back. Now, technically, he's never left us because he left his spirit here to be with us. And the spirit of God is love. But Jesus is coming. And like a magnet, if you had a whole bunch of metal shavings and you bring a magnet close to it, those metal shavings at some point, when that magnet gets close enough, they're going to begin to react. They're going to start to vibrate a little bit. And then some of those metal shavings is liable to just go and be right up there with the magnet before and leave the rest of them laying on the table. But the whole world is reacting to the Lord's drawing near. The day of the Lord is drawing near. And when I say near, I'm not talking about time. I'm talking about proximity. I'm talking about distance, if there were distance in the realm of the Spirit. There is no distance in the realm of the Spirit. There is no time in the realm of the Spirit. But as Jesus draws closer, the whole world is reverberating because of his glory. He said this. He said, "You're going to see signs. You're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. And there'll be earthquakes and famines and this and that. Birth pains." This woman is out there and she's in the heat of the day. And Jesus says, "Give me a drink." She goes, "You're asking me for a drink?" Jesus said this, he said, "If you knew who you were talking to, you would have asked me for a drink. And even now, I will give you living water. And you will never thirst again." And he's talking about eternal life. When he said living water, he's talking about eternal life. You see, why do you call it living water? Because we were all born into a dry and thirsty place. And the longer we live in it, the more thirsty we get for God. Although a lot of people don't realize it's God they're thirsty for. They think, "I've got this craving, I've got this itch, I can't satisfy it, I'll turn to this, I'll turn to that, I'll turn to them, I'll turn," and it doesn't work. It actually makes it worse. And we've all been there, right? If you're not all that old, maybe you haven't been there that much, I've got good news for you. You can avoid it. You don't have to go to the pig pen to find the Father's house. You can just find the Father's house. Hello. Not mandatory that you do stupid stuff. Mess your life up. Survive your bad decisions. It's not. You don't have to make them. You're young. You're listening to me today. Listen, you can decide right now. You know what? I'm going to do things God's way. So she shows up. Jesus said, "If you really knew who you're talking to, you'd ask me to give you the living water." She goes, "Oh, give me this living water so I don't ever have to come back out here and draw the water again." She's only thinking with her brain, right? She said, "He could make my life a whole lot easier." Jesus said, "Woman," you can almost hear it when he says it, "I will give you living water." She goes, "Oh, well, I'd like to come. I like that. Then I wouldn't have to come back out here." You can almost hear it going, "Nyow." You know? And Jesus goes, "Woman, go call your husband." I bet she kind of looked at him like, she goes, "I don't have a husband." True, she didn't have a husband. Jesus looks at her. You can find this account. It's not a story. It's not made up. It actually happened. He said, "You're right in saying you don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband." Uh-oh. the reaction you'd think he would get would like, well, who do you think you are judging me? Right? He wasn't judging her. If he was judging her and he already knew that stuff, would he have asked her for a drink of water? No. If his desire was to condemn her by putting his finger on the one thing in her life that was a repeated, she just had this pattern, this cycle, she couldn't get past it. And he pointed it out. It was probably the most painful thing in her life. I believe that's why she was at the well in the middle of the day, to avoid the persecution of the other women, because that her life was literally a train wreck. A derail, and she kept repeating the same pattern over and over and over again, trying to find something in her life that only God could do, apparently. And Jesus didn't point that out to make her feel bad about herself or to make him feel like she was judged, because here's her response. This proves it. This proves that Jesus is not a condemner. He said, you've had five husbands. That's not right according to the law of God. That's not how it's supposed to be. But that's how it was. We're not supposed to do bad things, but we've done them. We were all deceived. We were all foolish. We were all disobedient, hating one another and being hated. So her life was not what it should have been. But thanks to Jesus, it was about to make an abrupt change. Because where he shows up, things change. He said, you've had five husbands. The man you're living with now is not your husband. You know what her response was? She goes, I perceive you're a prophet. You're speaking for God. She didn't get mad. She didn't get offended. There was no condescending condemnation. Those are two big old words, aren't they? I bet I couldn't spell them. There was no condescending condemnation in the tone of his voice or the words that he spoke. All there was love. I've had God correct me, sometimes pretty harshly, because I need it that way. I'm that guy. But never once have I ever had God make me feel like he didn't love me. I was walking one time and he dealt with me about something. That's between me and him. Don't worry about what it is. And I was just walking and he just confronted me and I literally was so God-smacked that I stopped walking. And I said, whoa, well, if that's how it is, it's no more in my life then. I'm serious. But I didn't feel like he didn't love me. I felt like he was showing me something that was bringing me harm and I was completely unaware of it. And with her, she didn't feel condemned. She only felt love. If you know I ministered this today because you needed to hear it, and today is your day to make things right with God by receiving his forgiveness and mercy, I need to start fresh with Jesus today. I'm asking Jesus to lord over my life. And I'm going to pray. Pray this with me. And if you're saved, you can pray it too. It's fine. He knows our hearts. Say, Heavenly Father, I messed my life up, and you came, and your goodness has appeared to save me from all my sin. So thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins, for rising from the dead, that I could be made right. I thank you for that. I receive your gift. Help me grow to be the person you want me to be. In your name, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today on the Truth Broadcast. We invite you to join us on next week's program as Pastor Dwight continues this powerful message from God's Word. If you would like to request a free digital copy of today's teaching in its entirety, contact us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. For prayer requests, you can call or text us at 580-515-4319.
Well, this is Pastor Dwight Shepherd, and once again, I'd like to invite you that if you're traveling here in Western Oklahoma or looking for a church home where you can grow in your relationship with Jesus, we'd like to invite you to join us here at Living Waters Church of Burns Flat. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. So on behalf of myself and the church at Living Waters and all of us here at Truth Broadcast, thanks again for tuning in. God bless you in Jesus' name.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.